Kunja Bihari. Don't forget to smile while you sing. Oh, yeah, that's it. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Smile. Loud. Gopi Jana Bala Bhagiri Badadhari. Daya Gopi Jana Bala Bhagiri Badadhari. Dasodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Dasodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Damunatira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Loud, louder, louder, louder. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Sing. You sing. Jaya Radha Madhava Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Padi Bhajakacharya Asa Tara Satashishi Manas Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Shri Kaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, Adi, Gaur, Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar, Gopa Gopinath, Sharmakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gopremanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamneti Namane Namaste. Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashtatya Desatarane. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So if you know these two prayers, you can sing along with me. Narayanam namaskritcham naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. So do you know what that means? Means before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, what we're trying to study, One should first offer respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and Srila Vyasadeva, the author. And we also want to offer our respects to Srila Prabhupada, because if Srila Prabhupada didn't translate this and give us the comments, we really wouldn't understand it at all. So we're totally indebted to Srila Prabhupada. If you come to Bhagavatam class regularly, like every Wednesday or more, by regularly attending Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the devotees, unto the pure devotees, all that's troublesome, all that's bothering you becomes erased, eradicated, And transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes a fact in your life, a fact that can't be taken away, an asset, something that you gain that can never be taken away, the goods from that can never be taken away. So here we are reading today from the third canto. We're in chapter 20, and that chapter is called Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura. But I have to let you know, they're talking about really complicated things, okay? They're talking about the creation. So we'll try to make it in bite-sized pieces because it's a little complicated, okay? But when something's really complicated, it you can do one or two things. You can space out, which isn't recommended, or you can try harder to try to understand what's going on. That's the recommended process. So I'm going to keep poking you, okay? So that we can try hard to understand what he's saying. So we're doing 14, 15, and 16. We'll do 16 together. I'll just chant 14. And you can chant with me if you can do that. No problem. But before that, I want to say, Om Agyana Timirandasya, Gyanangyana Salakaya, Chaksu Umilitam Jena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So therefore, I'm totally indebted to Srila Prabhupada, and I beg for service at his lotus feet, life after life, and more than that, too. Okay, so text 14. Tani chaikasha shastrastum asam artani bhotikam Samhatya daiva yogena haimam andam avashrijan. And that one means, and I'll explain it when I start on the 16th, separately unable to produce the material universe, they combined with the help of the energy of the Supreme Lord and were able to produce a shining egg. Interesting, huh? Let's pay attention to see what's going on here. So they combined. That means the different ingredients of creation combined. And the ingredients by themselves couldn't do anything. But they combined, and they were able to form this little egg. So eggs are like seeds, right? So seeds mean that they can grow into something. So let's see what happens. Okay, text 15 is, we can chant that together if you will. So sai stabhi shalile andakosho niratmaka shagram vai varsha sahasram anvavatsitam ishvara. In translation to that is, for over 1,000 years. Did you catch that? A long time, right? 1,000 years, the shiny egg lay on the waters of the causal ocean in its lifeless state. Then the Lord entered it as Garbhodakshai Vishnu. Okay, and there's a purport. It's really long. From this verse, it appears that all the universes are floating in the causal ocean. So how long did that egg lay sitting on that causal ocean? 1,000 years. And what was it doing? Was it growing? Was it producing anything? Was it doing anything? And what was the factor that made something change? Garbhodakshai Vishnu, yes. And how many Vishnus have you heard of already in your long life in Krishna consciousness? Three, right, three Vishnus. Okay, we'll talk about them in a minute. Okay, so text 16 is the one that we'll do interactively, okay? Tasya nabhir abhutpadam. Tasya nabhir abhutpadman. Sahasra koru dihiti. Sahasra koro didhiti. Sarva jivani kayokto. Sarva jivani kayoko. Yatra swayam adbhut swarat. Yatra swayam adbhut swarat. Tasya nabhir adbhut padmam. Sahasra koru didhiti. Sarva jivani kayoko. Yatra swayam adbhut swarat. Please chant. Some adults first. Tasya nabhir adbhut padmam. Sahasra koru didhiti. Sarva jivani kayoko. Yatra swayam adbhut swarat. Ragatmika Prabhu, would you like to chant? Oh, you can't see. All right, sorry. Any other adult? Tasya nabhir adbhut padmam. Sahasra koru didhiti. Sarva jivani kayoko. Yatra swayam abhut swarat. Students? Tasya nabhir adbhut padmam. Sahasra koru didhiti. Sarva jivikani vayuko. Yatra abhir adbhut padmam. Sahasra koru didhiti. Sarva jivani kayoko. Yatra swayam adbhut swarat. The word for word, tasya, of the Lord. Nabhe, from the navel. Adbhut, sprouted up. Padmam, a lotus. Sahasra arka, a thousand sons. Uru, more, didhiti, with dazzling splendor. Sarva, all. Jiva Nikaya, resting place of conditioned souls. Oka, place. Yatra, where. Swayam, himself. Adbhut, emanated. Svarat, the omnipotent Lord Brahma. Interesting, huh? Lord Brahma, omnipotent. Let's see what the translation is. Translation, from the navel of the personality of Godhead, Garbhadakshay Vishnu. So remember, who entered into that shiny seed? Who was it that entered into the shiny seed? Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And that shiny seed was, where was that egg? Where was that? causal ocean. Very good. It was sitting there, and it was sitting there for a couple of years, right? How long? 1,000 years. So then Garbhodakshay Vishnu is entering into it. That's what's happening. Okay? And then what happens with Garbhodakshay Vishnu? Something starts to grow out of its navel. Now, if anything starts to grow out of your navels, you guys are in trouble, okay? But something coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, it's got to be something special, okay? So what's coming out of Garbhodakshay Vishnu's navel? Do we know yet? A lotus flower. But not just a lotus flower, okay? You're right, it is a lotus flower, but it's not just a lotus flower. We'll see what it says here, okay? This lotus flower, okay, I'm going to go back from the beginning. From the navel of the personality of Garbhodakshay Vishnu sprouted a lotus flower, effulgent like a thousand blazing suns. Yikes. We could use a few of those suns today, couldn't we? Heat up the air a little faster than it's going to. But anyway, this lotus flower is, now here's the thing about that lotus flower that's coming out. It's not just a flower. It's the reservoir, or it means the source. It's the source of all conditioned souls. It's the source. That lotus flower is where all the conditioned souls forever are. Okay? Not just all the people on the earth today. Does anybody have a clue of how many people that are on the earth, what the population of the earth is today? I'm glad you're participating. Older boys, by any chance, do you have some calculation? He did? Okay, tell us really loud. 8 point something billion. Thank you very kindly. 8 point something billion. So does that mean 8 point something billion conditioned souls were sprouted in that lotus flower? No? Why not? Can you just say it a little louder for deaf people like myself? It was more than 8 million because it was all the people that were ever created. So we think of the earth and we think, oh, it's really overpopulated. But guess what? There's millions of planets that have millions of souls on it in different forms and everything. And all of the conditioned souls were situated in that lotus that was coming from where? Let's go over here. Coming from where? Older girls, where was that lotus flower coming from? Where did it sprout from? That's the clue word, sprouted. Oh, yes. Can you? Belly button, yes, the belly button of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. Yes, you're absolutely right. So that lotus flower that had all the conditioned souls was sprouting from, some people say navel, but that's okay, it was a belly button, sprouted from the navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, all the conditioned souls. And it was real, and it was bright like what? That lotus flower? 1,000 suns. That's, you know, sometimes have you ever experienced that, especially when you're coming to school in the morning, depending on, because the sun is just coming up, it sometimes shines right in your eyes. Have you noticed that sometimes in your car? Maybe you don't notice it, but the person who's driving probably notices it. When the sun at the lower part of the horizon is just coming up, it shines right in your eyes, you kind of get blinded. You get spots in front of your eyes. It's hard. That's just one sun. But when 1,000, maybe 2 suns, right? 3 suns, that would be really bright, right? What about thousands of suns? Who can imagine that brightness? That's pretty bright. Okay, so going on, this is the verse. This lotus flower is the reservoir of all conditioned souls, and the first living entity who came out of the lotus flower was Brahma, the omnipotent Brahma. Interesting. So he's the first created living being, and he's, you know, the most intelligent living being. Okay, so I'm going to read the translation again just so that we can fix our mind. This is like, it's a little hard to concentrate on all these things, but we're doing our best, okay? So, from the navel of the personality of Godhead, Garbhodakshay Vishnu sprouted a lotus flower effulgent like 1,000 blazing suns. This lotus flower is the reservoir of all conditioned souls, And the first living entity who came out of the lotus flower was the omnipotent Brahma. So, we're pausing right there, and we're going to read the purport in a minute, but just to get a little bit of contextualization where we are in the Bhagavatam, and why do we have to listen again to the process of creation? We hear the creation of many times, multiple times, 10 or 15 times throughout the Bhagavatam, and we're only on the third canto, and we've already heard it at least three or four times in different aspects. The second canto talked about creation, third canto. This is just the beginning of the process of creation, so next week you're going to hear some more things about creation. Is it already time to leave? Okay. You're going to hear more things about the process of creation, so it's going to be a little thick, you could say. So, in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, it talks about, in the 10th chapter, the very first verse and a few verses after that, it talks about what this Bhagavatam talks, what's going to be in the Bhagavatam. And the very first thing it talks about is Sarga. Sarga is the process of creation, but the elements that the Lord creates from the Lord's creation. And then Visharga. Visharga is when the ingredients are all in place, Lord Brahma comes and arranges everything in a certain way. So you could think of it like this. If you guys wanted to have pizza at home, and you want to have a homemade pizza, right? What are the first things that you have to do? Hold on. Thanks. What are the first things that you have to do? Yes. Are you Nimai? Nitai. Okay, anyway. What are the first things you have to do if you want to make pizza at home? Yes, dear. Make the dough. Before you make the dough, what do you have to do? You have to put it in something, yeah. And before that, what do you have to do? Well, okay, you're all correct, but the very first thing is to make sure that you have flour, right? You have to have the ingredients. You have to have the flour. What else do you need? Water. What else do you need for pizza? Tomatoes. Well, that's flour and water is the beginning part. Then you need tomatoes, then you need some cheese, and then you need some topping, right? So you need all the ingredients, right? Very good. Or else you'll have things growing out of your navel, right? Okay, yeah. You have to wash your hands, right? So you have to have all the ingredients. So this is what we're doing here. Whereas before you guys came to this class, we were hearing about the ingredients of the creation that Krishna provides. Krishna's providing sources of ingredients. He's providing. Then Brahma comes along and he takes those ingredients and he arranges them in a way that there's lower planetary systems where people suffer, there's middle planetary systems where people suffer and enjoy, there's higher planetary systems that people get rewarded for their good activities. And the living entities, which Brahma did not create the living entities, that's from Krishna. The living entities, according to their activities, they take birth in certain situations, right? So here we're reading about the creation, but listen to this. Here's the purport. Now listen, we just heard about the creation sprouting up from Garbhadakshay Vishnu's navel, and here's what Prabhupada says in the purport. It appears from this verse that the conditioned souls who rested within the body of the personality of Godhead after the dissolution of the last creation came out in the sum total form of the lotus. I'm going to read it again, and then I'm going to ask you questions about this one sentence, okay? So tune into this one sentence. It appears from this verse that the conditioned souls who were where? In Garbhadakshay Vishnu, they were resting in him, they came out of the lotus, who rested within the body of the personality of Godhead after what? The dissolution. Well, we're on creation. Why are they talking about dissolution? Something happened before the creation? Creation means the beginning, doesn't it? Amshu? I heard the last part. What was the first part? It was a previous creation. But creation means beginning, doesn't it? What are we not understanding? Well, what do we get to understand from this? This the trick word, eternal. The spirit soul, the living entity, the jiva, the you that's inside your body right now, has existed 20 years ago. We covered everybody there. It existed 100 years ago. Haribo. It existed forever. So it's had previous activities. And based on those activities in the past, we took birth in this life. Similarly, at the time of creation, based on past activities, people come out, they sprout, they in that lotus form, they come out, they're little seeds, and they, based on their activities, they continue on. Okay, this is called Hiranyagarbha. The first living entity to come out was Lord Brahma, who is independently able to create the rest of the manifested universe. That's called Visarga. There's Svarga, the creation by the Lord, and Visarga, Sarga and Visarga, sorry, creation by Lord Brahma. The lotus described here as the lotus is described here as effulgence as the glare of thousands of suns. This indicates that the living entities, as parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are also of the same quality. Since the Lord, can we shut the door, please, Haribol? Oh, best of the teachers. Nope, he can't hear me. Can you shut the door? Thanks, Prabhu. This indicates that the living entities are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are also of the same quality, since the Lord also diffuses his bodily glare, known as Brahma Jyoti. So that was a little complicated sentence. So it means that the living entities, the spirit soul of the living entities, is effulgent. It's bright. It has a brightness to it. Because why? Because Krishna has a brightness to it, to him. And he diffuses, he's created the living entities, so they're also bright and sparkly and effulgent like millions of suns also. But there's a difference. What's the difference between the living entities and the Supreme Lord? One of them, or some of the differences. Older girls, what's the difference between the living entity, the brilliant living individual jiva, and the Supreme Lord's brilliant shining form and personality? Somebody said something, but I couldn't hear it. Can you say it again? Size. Very good, size. But now, if you don't mind me picking on you. Sorry. I'll pick on the group, okay? Size. What does that size difference mean? I'm asking you the same question. I'm just wanting you to give me different words. The living entity is? Yes, tiny. The living entity is tiny, and the Supreme Lord is unlimited. That's the point I'd like to make. Because many times people make the mistake and think, you know, in their pursuance of spiritual life, you know, if they don't have good guidance, they're thinking, I am God. And in one sense, it's true. Yes, we're part and parcel of God, but that's the thing. We are like God, but we're tiny. We can't be compared. They can't be compared to the unlimited powers of the Supreme Lord that he has. So we have different powers, abilities, potencies, etc., etc. And many people do many great things. But compared to the Lord's power and ability to do things, you really can't make a proper comparison, because he's unlimited and we're limited. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, I'll finish the purport before you guys leave, because you have another minute. Okay, Brahma Jyoti. The description of Vaikuntha Loka, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, is confirmed herewith. In Vaikuntha, the spiritual sky, there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, electricity, or fire. Every planet there is self-effulgent like the sun. Because that's the nature of the spiritual world is totally in tune and in sync with the desires of the Lord and is the perfect abode, it's effulgent like the Lord. And everything is effulgence. There is a sun there, and there is a moon there, but they're not dependent on that light as we are for our heat and light and warmth and everything. So there's a big, in other words, although it might be easy to say quickly, oh, the spiritual world is self-effulgent and the material world is full of darkness and everything, but there's a huge difference between the material world and the spiritual world. The spiritual world, everything is bright and effulgent and cognizant, aware of their connection with the Supreme Lord. And they never want to transgress or cross over or change that relationship. Not even the grass, not even the flowers, not even the little crickets in the spiritual world. They're happy because they are engaging in their constitutional position of servants of the Lord. So one thing that's important about these verses is to even to hear just the Sanskrit, because the Sanskrit is empowered with the ability for us to understand. The ability for us to understand is there even in the Sanskrit, and it helps us to chant the Sanskrit. So that sound vibration is very important. And therefore, since this new festival tent is coming up because of the festival of the Holy Name that's coming up, that sound vibration of the Holy Name is also very important for us because it's very cleansing. So we're hoping that you'll all participate in the Festival of the Holy Name and coming regularly to all the programs during the day and chanting very loudly, because that chanting puts us again in sync in our natural position of being connected with the Lord. Sound vibration is really important. Have you ever noticed that? It's really important. Have you noticed sometimes when your parents stop at a stoplight and somebody else has got, you know, some loud music playing and their whole car is vibrating, boom buddy, boom buddy, boom 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 buddy, boom buddy. I want to go out and I want to do this and boom buddy, boom buddy, boom buddy. And it's just like, whoa. What do you think when you hear that? How do you feel when you hear things like that? But when somebody with their sincere endeavor, sincere heart thinks, I want to connect with Krishna, let me chant Hare Krishna with attention and love, how that uplifts not only you, but also the other people around you. So therefore, this Festival of the Holy Name, this opportunity that you have all the time, but now we're having a special opportunity to invest in more time and with more sincerity and chanting. How does Madhava always tell us to chant when those festivals? Chant from the heart. Remember how he says that? Chant from the heart, louder, he says too. He says that a lot too. Yeah, so chant with that sincere desire to connect with the Lord, and you'll feel that collective vibration. So, okay, I thought you were going to leave at 8:30, so I have another time. Okay, yes, Ragatmika, you have a question already? Seven times in the scriptures. Sorry, specifically, I'd have to look it up. I don't know, unless somebody else knows specifically where it's stated. But seven times, and therefore, it even brings us out of our personal desire for purification, because it helps other people. They get affected. Just like right now, can you guys tune in to the microwaves that are going through this room? Can you tune in to the electricity that's going through the room? You can't really tune in, but somebody's tuned into it. The wires are connected to the powerhouse, and the lights are on. And people's cell phones are working, they're connected because they have the receptors to connect. So in other words, there's vibrations going through the universe all the time. Universe, going through the room, going through our ears all the time. There's different vibrations. So we're trying to tune into that spiritual vibration, which also has to do with the creation of the universe, because Lord Brahma, as will be stated further on, When he's trying to figure out, when he wakes up on the top of that lotus flower, and it's all darkness there in the creation, and the lotus flower is swaying back due to the winds of devastation that are going, and he's on top, he's situated on top, and he's thinking, whoa, who am I? What am I doing? What's my purpose? He can't remember just yet. So he does, he makes his attempt to figure it out on his own, which is, he doesn't get very far. He goes down the stem of the lotus flower, and he doesn't figure out what his purpose is until he hears ta-pa. Now, that's not a heck of a lot of vibration, is it? Ta-pa. But it's empowered with spiritual potency. And him taking and understanding that ta-pa meant that he had to do austerities, by his doing those austerities and meditating on the Supreme Lord, just by hearing that sound vibration, he was able to figure out, oh, now I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know what to do, and I'm not afraid anymore. He wasn't afraid of the winds and the water and the this and the that. All of that was revealed to Brahma by transcendental sound vibration. So the transcendental sound vibration of Hare Krishna, that's why it's so nice when everybody gets together and chants, because sometimes, have you noticed, it's a little hard to concentrate all the time on spiritual sound vibration. Sometimes we tune in, and we think, oh yeah, Krishna, oh, you look so beautiful, oh, I really want to serve you. And then somebody says to you, what did you have for breakfast? Or what are we doing? Or did you do the homework today? Or can you tell me the answer to this? Or do you know what happened over there? And that was in a car crash. And then you're like totally in a different space. But by being together with everybody who's trying their best to concentrate on that sound vibration, then someone will be singing and you'll think, oh yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. So by that association is very important. So the association that we'll have, the opportunity that we'll have during the Festival of the Holy Name and the opportunity that we have in general to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and associate with devotees, it's very important for us, and it affects everyone else around us. So how about if anybody has any questions or comments from the kids who are about to leave relatively soon? Questions or comments or takeaways? Do you have anything you want to take away from this spiel? Or even if you don't want to take away, that you can remember something about something that was said or commented on? 3, 2, 1. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, that's a very good question. Thanks for catching that. Why Lord Brahma is referred to as omnipotent, the omnipotent Brahma? Because he's getting empowered by Krishna. Now, there's degrees. Now, we could say, like you could say to some of your students, you're really excellent in that. But, oh, you'd never say that. Okay, but somebody else would say that. You're really excellent. You did a really good job. You know, you say it all the time. You did a really good job. But and they did a really good job. But it doesn't mean they did the best job of ever. So that's my understanding. He's omnipotent in the fact that he's empowered to do what he's doing, which is way beyond the capacity of any quote-unquote normal living entity. But he's also not omnipotent like the Supreme Lord. He's tinily omnipotent. Which reminds me, thank you, Krishna, of one thing I wanted to say about why is it necessary to hear about the creation so much? What do you think the effect is of hearing about the creation so many times? Because it is not an easy, you know, some religious philosophies say God created the world. And that's totally true, right? And it's totally satisfying, right? Until you want to, like, kind of figure out different aspects of it. It's not very deep. It's not very full of knowledge. But when you read the Bhagavatam and it explains that this, the Tanmatras, this is what we read yesterday, the Tanmatras, the five groups of five elements that were created, did this and that, and the ego is the source of everything, and you think, huh? It's so complicated. But why is it that we hear about the creation so much? That's the question put forward, and you can't leave until somebody answers. A few answers. A few thoughtful answers. Why? What? How does it affect us? Why is it affecting us to hear about the creation? Yes, Mr. Very Nicely Participant Prabhu. Yes. That means I forget your name. What is it? Nalini. I remembered. Thank you, Krishna. Okay, Nalini, what? Why do we hear about the creation? Could you just say it louder, please? So we can know where we came from. That's good. That's true. Because what are we doing here in general? Not you. We're forgetting what we came here for. We're forgetting what the goal of life is. So that's one thing. Are there any other reasons why we need to know about the creation? Or we can anything we can learn from the process of creation, from the girl's side? Process of creation, what's the benefit of hearing about the creation? Yes, ma'am. Yes, to build faith, thank you. Yes, to build faith in the powers of the Lord. Ragatmika Prabhu. Very good. To realize how tiny we are in compared to the potencies of the Lord. Because that's another thing. Have any of you ever felt particularly self-confident and that, I'll say this, I've often felt particularly self-confident that I'm better than others, and I'm not. And I need to remember that, you know. It's just, that's called false ego. The false ego gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I can't do anything really good, but whatever I do, I think it's the best. Sorry, true confessions here. So to hear about the creation means to hear about the potency and the position of the Lord and our relationship with the Lord as what? Servants. We're servants of the Lord. We hear that. It doesn't sound particularly appealing at this particular point sometimes. It doesn't sound, oh, I'm a servant of the Lord. But it is actually a very blissful position. So thank you very much for being forced to participate, and Hare Krishna, have a great day. Glories to Prabhupada. So any other comments by those few people who are left here? Or other points they'd like to bring up or corrections? Guru Prasad Prabhu.
Thank you. So who did Lord Brahma meet? Was it Garbhodakshayi Vishnu or Krishna when he was singing the Brahma Samhita?
When he was singing the Brahma, Krishna revealed himself partially. He didn't fully reveal himself. So the technicality of that answer, I also don't know. Does anybody know who Lord Brahma saw? Was it Garbhodakshayi? I don't know. Sorry.
Because he's describing, you know, the Lakshmi, the goddesses of fortune, you know, Vrindavan. He's describing Vrindavan.
He's describing some of it, but not all of it. Yes. I mean, you know, yeah, he is. So, because why? But that the point is because the knowledge is revealed. Knowledge is revealed within the heart. It's not, he made his endeavor, and Krishna revealed himself within the heart. So similarly, that's the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, that knowledge, that transcendental knowledge was revealed in the heart of Brahma because of his endeavor to connect with the Lord. So Krishna revealed a good amount of knowledge. He didn't reveal everything. And even as Lord Brahma himself, if later on in the 10th canto, we're familiar with the story, the pastime when he challenged Krishna. You know, he had a doubt. Is this little barefoot cowherd boy my Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, my Kiradakshayi Vishnu? You know, is he the Supreme Lord? You know, he couldn't make that connection. He couldn't see that connection. And therefore, he challenged Krishna and then regretted it. And then Krishna revealed himself, oh, all the coward boys were four-handed Vishnus, et cetera, et cetera. It's all coming from him because Krishna has so much potency and so much variety of pastimes. Hare Krishna. Enough? Oh, yes. Div. Hare Krishna.
Brahma Samhita, we read, Brahma became acquainted, well acquainted with the an ocean of truth, And then in the purport, he says, Bhaktisiddhanta says, although further details
yeah.
were not revealed to him.
Yes.
You know, just remind us. I mean, Brahma's amazing. He is omnipotent compared to, you know, most of us. But.
Yeah, right. When she was saying that, I thought of that, and then I forgot to say it. So, yeah, he you know, totally true. Information was revealed to him, but Srila Prabhupada says there in the purport, and he says it on the album, the Happening album or whatever album, when he talks about the Hare Krishna mantra or whatever, that not everything was revealed to him. Everything is, it's a gradual process of realization.
And that's why he continues to say that we should study it with great care and attention.
As a regular daily function.
Do that every day in the morning, and I love it. Some people walk out, I don't know where they're going, I would, you know, it takes 5 minutes to learn the Brahma Samhita, and it's so, and I've read it a lot of times, but every single time I read that, it's like, wow, it's just
yeah, amazing. It's like beyond. Yeah, and that's, and actually when you think of every little verse practically of transcendental knowledge has oceans and oceans and oceans of realization behind it. And that was the thing that was so fascinating with Srila Prabhupada, or even in that little purport that we read, you know, how Prabhupada says, it's amazing here that, and he talks about how the living entities were effulgent. He picked that up right off the bat. The living entities are effulgent, but they're not as effulgent as the Supreme Lord, and he brings that out. And for someone like, for an untrained reader or someone who's still not very purified, it's so easy to miss all of those points. And that's why we're so dependent on hearing from the proper source. Has that been stressed a few times? Hear from the proper source, hear from the previous acharyas, because they expand. Even we're doing a study, a Bhagavatam study, 10th Canto with Dhruva and Sama. And so we're reading from Krishna book, and we're also reading from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's Sarata Darshani, his comments. And so Srila Prabhupada, when he translated all of the Bhagavatam, he had a book with different commentators on it, different commentaries from the previous acharyas. And he would read the Sanskrit, translate the Sanskrit, and he would read the purports of the different acharyas, and then he would condense it and say it in his own words. So for a Western audience that doesn't know diddly about squat, you know, and he would try to present it in that way. And so you can hear, so now that we're doing this Bhagavatam study side by side, Sarata Darshani and the Bhagavatam, Krishna book, you can hear how Srila Prabhupada incorporated many, many, many of the points that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, but Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said them in such a different way. You know, such an interesting, you know, usually in a form of conversation between the participants, but Prabhupada grabbed the essence of that. So we're dependent on the previous acharyas and Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, thank you very kindly for your attention. Vanchakalpa tribhyasya kripa sindhu.